Castillo trying to put a cap on a strong six-inning start. Here comes the next pitch. He locks him up, 97-mile-an-hour fastball, and it splits the lower outside corner. It's a pump of the fist for Luis Castillo. Two runs over six innings and six strikeouts today in Arlington, Texas.
Yes, it is Mariners Pod. Thanks for being back once again. That was Luis Castillo as the long line of great starts for the Mariners continues. The Mariners beat the Rangers yesterday. They win the series in Texas. They won the series in Colorado. An excellent road trip for the Mariners. A 4-2 trip for the M's. They've won three series in a row now, coming home for Arizona and Atlanta. We'll talk about that coming up in a few minutes. This is a fun pod, though. We have a couple of fun conversations I think you'll enjoy coming up. Shannon caught up with Gabe Spire, who's been nothing short of sensational for the Mariners, so that comes up in a few minutes. Aaron caught up with a name you may not know, Patrick Hafner. Patrick is the manager of baseball video operations for the Mariners, a super important job. So we get an insight on what he does every day. So I think you'll enjoy that one. So those will come up in a few minutes. First, let's talk a little bit about what we saw in Texas. You know, it's April, right? But this was a series that measuring stick early series, I guess, for the Mariners is how I would think about it. Of course, this was a building last year that the Mariners did not win in. They went 0-6 against the Rangers at their place. A 9 ERA in that building last year for the Mariners. Nothing really went well in Texas last year for the M's. So to come there early in the season and get a series is not a small thing for the Mariners. Their pitching staff pitched really well. When you look at the Rangers offense, especially in that building, and to see what the Mariners did, you know, blank them in game one, allow three runs, two earned in game three to get the victory. That's really good stuff. And the Mariners along the way, two run home runs in game one, two run home runs in game three. And there was a big difference last year. The Rangers out homered the Mariners 17-10 in the season series overall. That sounds like a huge gap, but when you're only playing 13 times in a season, that's significant. And it's something we talked about the Mariners' offense during the early part of the season. It was really lacking slug, lacking damage. Just to see it come back, have a couple of home runs in game one and game three that directly led to victories is massive for the Mariners. And the rotation has been on a roll. The bullpen has been excellent. The pitching numbers overall are pretty staggering with the Mariners. You look at this recent run now. The Mariners have won seven of their past nine games. The pitching in that stretch, an ERA under 1.5, 91 innings, 96 strikeouts. It's been sensational. You pull that back even further, April 10th, to what the rotation has done. They've simply been one of the best rotations, along with the Phillies in baseball in that stretch, a rotation ERA of just above 1.5. And we're talking 13 games in that stretch. It's just one quality start after another, and more than quality start, really. And they've all been clicking since that little dip early in the season. They've been lights out ever since. And that's been the backbone. That's the backbone of the Mariners. We talk about it all the time. But when they're rolling like that, they're a tough team to beat. And offensively, we saw it. You know, you're not asking for 9-10 runs a ball game. You're asking for, hey, you score four, you got a great chance of winning. And that played out in Texas with a couple of games where they scored four runs. So really great work by the Mariners on this trip, and an important series win early on for the Mariners against the Texas Rangers. Some stuff to really build on. So a lot of stuff to really like from what we saw. Mariners start with the Diamondbacks tonight at home. It's kind of funny. The Mariners playing the two World Series competitors from a year ago, back-to-back series. And then Atlanta comes into town after that. Atlanta has simply been one of the best teams in baseball. Tonight's matchup, really tough. Zach Gallen will take the mound for Arizona. One of the best pitchers in the National League, off to a strong start. Emerson Hancock will look to continue what's been a couple really nice starts in a row. He pitched really well in Colorado last time out, so he'll get the ball against Arizona. Arizona below 500 to start this season. There's some questions for the Diamondbacks in the rotation after that. You know, usually after Zach Gallen goes, they hand the ball to Merrill Kelly, but Kelly's dealing with some shoulder a shoulder issue. So things are not as clear-cut in the Diamondbacks' rotation to start the season. So they have a couple TBAs in the next couple games. I'm sure that will be cleared up shortly. In the meantime, Saturday for the Mariners, that's going to be George Kirby. He'll go on Saturday, and then Sunday the series will wrap up for the Mariners against Arizona with Logan Gilbert on the mound. So we'll see if the Mariners can keep the role going on the mound. We'll see if the Mariners can take another series. And with Atlanta coming in especially, I think it'd be nice for the Mariners to take this series with Atlanta coming in next. For Arizona, Ketel Marte is off to an excellent start offensively. He's been one of the best offensive players in the National League early on in the season. Blaze Alexander, their shortstop, who you may not be familiar with, is off to a great start as well. Of course, Gino coming back. He's got a couple home runs this year for Arizona. Pitching has been up and down, though, especially without Kelly in the rotation. It's been up and down in the rotation. Zach Gallen has been outstanding so far. Brandon Pfaadt, an ERA near 5. Tommy Henry, he's over 5. Jordan Montgomery, since joining the rotation, he's been good in his last two starts, so he has helped stabilize things, but it looks like the Mariners will miss Jordan Montgomery this time around. Bullpen has been up and down as well. No Paul Sewald early on in the season. He was on a rehab assignment early, so he's making his way back. So pitching has been more middle of the pack for the Diamondbacks. If you just went strictly by ERA, they are right in the middle, 15th in Major League Baseball, a touch under 4. Mariners, by the way, sixth best ERA in baseball now at 3.28. They've really just been slicing away at that ERA in this recent stretch. Offensively, though, Arizona's been pretty good. They've been, if you want to go by WRC+, they are a top 10 offense, ninth right now, just ahead of the Texas Rangers. So they've been really solid offensively thanks to a couple of strong starts that we talked about. So Atlanta, by the way, is number one. They've been the best offense in baseball so far. So Atlanta going to provide, obviously, a ton of challenges for the Mariners. This is not going to be an easy homestand. The Mariners playing good ball, but they're going to have to play good ball in this six-game stretch between Arizona and Atlanta. So fun homestand. Looking forward to this homestand. We'll see if the Mariners can keep the roll going. In the meantime, man, Gabe Spire has been, I mean, he's been great the last 2 years for the Mariners, and it seems like so far he's been at another level so far this season. Spire, just to pick one number for you, he's got the third highest K rate for relievers in the American League behind Mason Miller, who's been dominant for the A's. If you've not watched Mason Miller yet this year, he's throwing 103. He's striking out over 50% of the hitters he sees. Craig Kimbrell is second on that list, and then Gabe Spire on the third. He has been great for the Mariners so far this season, especially when you consider from the left side, he tends to get the really tough matchups from the left side, you know, the Corey Seagers of the world in the last series, for example. I mean, we see it play out all the time. Alvarez with Houston, go down the list. So he continues to be great for the Mariners. Shannon caught up with Gabe Spire.
Spire fires home. Check swing. He goes. It's another high fastball. Gabe Spire stares down Corey Seager with four straight heaters and just straight up overpowers him with the game on the line in the seventh inning.
It's been a good start. But I'd say, you know, everything's kind of working. I'm able to just kind of put everything in good spots where hitters, you know, are having a tough time getting to it. So it's been good, you know. Obviously got to keep things going. It's early. All it is a good start, and I just got to keep going. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
You look at your strikeout rate. In the last 3 years, you've 4%, 4%, 4%. And yes, you've added. And it is early, so we'll see where this settles. But obviously a good start for you. Is that just a function of throwing strikes, or does your stuff look different to you?
No, yeah, I think it's got to be just strikes. I haven't changed much as far as like my arsenal or, you know, tweaking with pitches and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it's just getting ahead of guys and then, you know, being the strike thrower, you know, I think it makes hitters a little more aggressive than maybe usual. So I'm able to get some chase out of the zone later in counts, and that's kind of what's been happening. And, yeah.
One of the things we haven't seen, and I wonder if that's just because you haven't needed it at all, is you talked about a split change during spring training.
I've thrown it a few times, maybe three, maybe four times. I haven't gotten a swing on it. I also haven't thrown it for a strike. I kind of brought that pitch along for right-handed hitters, but my slider is playing really well to righties right now, and so I've shaken it off a couple times, actually. I know I just talked about throwing whatever they put down, but I like my slider to righties right now, so I've been kind of sticking with that. But I think that it'll come along. It's still in the arsenal.
That makes a ton of sense. Yep. Why do anything different right now?
Yes, exactly. I feel like I'm able to kind of throw my slider to both sides of the plate right now, and that back door kind of early, and the back foot kind of later in counts.
You came into the organization a year ago. You bought in. You threw strikes. What did you learn over that year? You've got a year behind you right now. You're starting at a different starting point.
I've learned a lot this year. I'm in a much different spot. You know, I was kind of just fighting to stay last year at this point in the season, just trying to get outs and stay on the team. And this year, I feel like I've become a big part of the bullpen. Our bullpen is obviously unbelievable, up and down. Everybody's throwing the ball so good, and it's just fun to be a part of. And I learned a lot last year, like I said. And, you know, I think this year the biggest difference is I'm able to kind of slow the game down a little bit more. You know, as before, I was kind of out there just working, trying to get outs, and now I'm you know, watching the hitter a little bit more intently, reading swings. I've noticed, for example, like I throw that sinker into lefties, and I notice maybe they back off the plate a little bit, and then I'll go slider away. So kind of, you know, taking a step back and kind of looking at the game a different way, kind of reading hitters a little bit more.
Taylor Salcedo puts out a tweet last night about how you are not getting enough notice. You see something like that from a teammate. What does that do?
It's awesome. I mean, Sauce is not only my teammate, but he's one of my really good friends. We hang out almost every night, play video games together. And I know, you know, we're both lefties, but I don't see it. We don't really – it's a healthy competition between us. And like I said, we're really close, and I appreciate it. I mean, Sauce is the man. I'm not a big tweeter, and if I was, I would shoot something out to him, shouting out to him, because he's awesome. He's a great pitcher and a great teammate and a great friend.
What's impressed you about him on the mound this year?
He's this year. There's been some stints where there's some time in between his outings. I think there was one when he threw like 2.2 in Milwaukee, and then he'd pitch for like 8 or 9 days. And, there's a difference between being fresh and being rusty. And at that point, it's like, I haven't thrown for 9 days. You know, he might've been a little rusty, and he goes out and just absolutely competes his butt off and shoves. The dude's a gamer, and he's got good stuff, and he's really good at what he does.
What's impressed you about the entire bullpen?
You know, I think I said this to you before, Stanek. I didn't know the guy. You know, I knew him, playing against him, and seemed like such an intense guy. But he's the life of the party. Him and Sauce. He's been kind of a glue guy for us, and obviously he's a high leverage arm and a great addition to the bullpen. But we're clicking out there. It's a lot of fun. And Tony, our bullpen coach, is also a new addition. He's been great. And we're having a lot of fun out there.
Lastly, if you could take one pitch from any member of the pitching staff, starters included, I think you have an answer. You're smiling now. Okay.
It's so hard to argue with the Matt Brash slider. I mean, I think, 100% of guys on this staff would love to have that pitch. But I'll go a different route, because that's like the no-doubt pitch. But I really would like to have a cutter, and we have a few guys that throw really good cutters. Both has a good one. Lots of people. Logan Gilbert. I said both. Thornton. I'd probably like to have one of their cutters. Just because I throw a hard arm side fastball, it would be awesome to have a hard glove side fastball. So I'd have to go with one of those.
Maybe next year.
Maybe.
Gabe, so good to catch up with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And Aaron chatted with Patrick Hafner.
Aaron Goldsmith alongside a new voice on the pregame show, Patrick Hafner, the Mariners manager of baseball video operations. Patrick, I see you every day. And I see you with a very small version of Best Buy inside the clubhouse, whether home or road. Let's just start with the 30,000-foot view. What do you do for the Mariners?
Yeah, it's a great question. I actually get asked this a lot by family and friends, and it's always kind of hard to describe. But in general, kind of my position is making sure that our players and coaches are prepared before and after each and every game that we play here, whether it's on the home or roadside. So just providing different types of video for our players to be able to review their swings and their pitches, coaches to be able to review film and, you know, make adjustments to swings and all that kind of stuff. So providing them with scouting videos. We work really closely with the advanced scouts for the Mariners with Sam and those guys. So providing, you know, scouting videos to match the scouting reports that we have on our opponents and making sure that we can provide, like, video tools for our players to be able to, you know, go over the scouting report before each and every game. So it's kind of a mix of, you know, being able to provide, you know, actual in-game video so that guys can make themselves better, but also providing our players and staff with the ability to provide visual tools for our players for scouting purposes as well.
When we talk about video today in Major League Baseball, it's not like just this one high home camera that looks down and that's the one video angle. How many angles, how many devices? Because this is, it's a large scope of video we're talking about.
Yeah. Every stadium's a little bit different. So at home, we have our own coaching cameras that we have installed at T-Mobile Park in addition to the broadcast cameras. So we have the ability to kind of tap into the broadcast cameras and I'm able to decide which angles I think are useful for coaching purposes. So at any given time, let's say at home, we might have somewhere close to 20 cameras out there that we have that we're filming from different angles, different frame rates. So if you're looking for a higher frame rate camera that can kind of break down a swing a little bit better, then we have a couple of those kind of installed throughout the stadium. And then on the road, you're usually pretty standard as far as what angles they provide to you, but certain stadiums have certain cameras or more cameras if it's a big market team like the Yankees as an example, where you're able to tap into a couple more extra cameras. So on the road, we're looking more like somewhere between 10 and 15 cameras that we're able to capture if we want to.
I know you're a Florida State guy. So does Cal Raleigh get his video first before every other hitter?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the rule. You know, we've got to take care of our own. And he's a huge Knoll, so we got to make sure we take care of him first.
Now, I've been told to ask about the defining qualities of your dog. Physical qualities of your dog. Please tell us about your English bulldog.
Yeah, our English bulldog, his name is Bricks. He's a big guy. He's a little chunky around the waist. He sleeps a lot. He's probably a 16 to 18 hour a day kind of sleeper, so it's pretty great in terms of, you know, if we need to leave him at the house for a while, he's good. Loves his naps, you know, early morning, early afternoon, late afternoon, you name it, he's probably napping. He's awesome. My wife and I, Jennifer and I, love our dog, and he's awesome.
Tell us your path from Florida State to Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, so Florida State, I went there for 4 years, worked in football and baseball video for the last 2 years that I was at Florida State. So kind of had the end of Bobby Bowden and the beginning of Jimbo Fisher era at Florida State. And then from there, I kind of made my way around a little bit. So I started with the Pittsburgh Pirates down in Bradenton, Florida, which is actually where I met Trevor Goobie.
Goobie oversees all the ballpark operations for the Mariners at T-Mobile Park.
Yep, exactly. So back then he was with the Pirates and he oversaw the minor league facility down in Bradenton, Florida. So I did that for a brief period and then made my way over to the Tampa Bay Rays where I was doing stadium operations. Did that briefly as an internship and shortly thereafter took an internship with the New York Yankees and video. And from there I became full-time, worked my way up and eventually made it to a minor league video coordinator with the New York Yankees.
Okay. And the minor league video side, I mean, we see all that you do at the major league side, but in the last, I don't know, 5, maybe 10 years, the minor league side has taken off so much as well, hasn't it, within the game?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, minor leagues has improved significantly as stadiums have gotten better, as technology has gotten better. There's been a huge boom in technology in the baseball industry, as we know, over the last, you know, 10 or so years. So, you know, minor league teams are now, you know, starting to get into more and more higher frame rate cameras and more coaching angles and stuff like that. So it's really starting to grow.
Patrick, it's great to learn more about you and what you do for the Mariners, and we really appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.